Don't turn it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Marshall.
Hi, I'm Barry McGuire.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
Hi, this is Robert Yates.
Hey, this is Lou Santiago.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
Hello, Florida. I'm Ken Squire.
Hi, this is Edsel Ford.
Hi, I'm Corky Coker.
Hey, this is Dennis Gage.
Hi, this is Sam Amolo.
Hi, this is Janet Guthrie.
Hi, I'm Bruce Cohn.
Hi, I'm Bob Lutz.
Hi, this is Dave McClellan.
Hey, this is Tammy Edelbrock.
Hi, this is Norm Gravowski.
Hey, I'm Dave Despain.
Hey, this is Wayne Carini.
This is Bill Warner.
Hey, I'm Steve Bignanti.
This is Kevin Bird.
This is Arlen Ness.
This is Ed Justice Jr.
Hi, I'm Casey Jones.
Hi, I'm Paul Kelly.
I'm Richard Hutchins.
Hi, this is Danny Sullivan.
Hi, I'm Bob Bondurant.
Hey, everybody, it's Tim Strange.
This is Daryl Strawberry.
Hi, this is Ford Hickok.
Hi, this is Ed Iskandarian here.
This is Robin Miller.
Hey, sports fans, this is Peter Brock here.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
This is Robert from Nostalgic Radio and Cars, here to tell you about Bellador's Pizza and Pasta, where the food is fresh, the sauce homemade, and the price is fantastic. They offer Chicago-style stuffed crust pizza, New York-style pizza, calzones, strombolis, pasta entrees, beer wine, and great desserts. They even make their bread fresh daily. Hey, they offer catering, and any order over $10, free delivery. So give them a call at 727-581-5000. Place your order now. They're located at 131 Clearwater Largo Road near downtown Largo, or visit their website, bellodorspizza.com. Hey listeners, this is Robert from Nostalgic Radio and Cars. We all love to eat. Well, I would like to tell you about my friends at the Rib Shack Barbecue on West Bay Drive in downtown Largo. Their menu offers family-sized takeout dinners like delicious ribs, chicken, beef, and pork, or sit-down barbecue dinners, sandwiches, and even desserts. They will also cater your party. Everything is barbecued fresh using real oak for that great smoky flavor. So visit my friends Corey, Jed, and Kurt at the Rib Shack Barbecue in downtown Largo, 600 West Bay Drive, or call them for a takeout order at 727-501-9090. That's 727-501-9090. They truly have the best smoking barbecue in town. Oh, and be sure and check out their great barbecue sauce. That's the Rib Shack Barbecue in downtown Largo, 727-501-9090. I'm telling Robert from Nostalgic Radio and Cars sent you.
Smart people, and that's the kind of show we're doing tonight. We're doing a smart show. It's called Over Your Head, and I'm heading to go over your head sometime tonight. I'm going to go over your head. Stay with me as long as you can. From the very beginning, the word one ought to start with a wah wah sound, and it don't have one. Don't have a wah wah and one. Why? There's a wah wah and why. There ain't no well what, the beginning of one. There's an ing you don't need. If there ain't no well what in one, then you look at two, there's a well what you don't even need. Why should I be serious about the language if the language isn't serious enough to make sense? Right, gang? Well, let's take the word bomb. B-O-M-B, right? Bomb? Bomb, B-O-M-B. All right, T-O-M-B. Tom? No, tomb. All right. T-O-M-B, tomb. C-O-M-B, comb. Comb. All right. C-O-M-B, comb. P-O-M-B, poem. No. P-O-E-M, poem. All right. P-O-E-M, poem. H-O-E-M, home. No. H-O-M-E. All right. H-O-M-E, home. S-O-M-E, some. No. Some. All right, S-O-M-E, sum. N-O-M-E, num? No. N-U-M-B. Originally, the alphabet was laid out this way, and this was all of the vowel sounds, A, E, I, O, U, everything you can sing. These are all the real good sounds in the alphabet. The rest of this is just consonants. You can't sing consonants. You can't go... Why does a cowboy wear two spurs? If one side of the horse goes, so does the other. Why do they call them cowboys? Cows is girls, bulls is boys. Ought to be cowgirls and bull boys. Why do they call a statue a bust when it stops right before the part it'd be named after? Why do they call them buildings when they're already done building them? Ought to call them built.
Set the Wayback Machine.
Yes, sir, Mr. Peabody.
Hi, I'm Corky Coker, and you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
Okay, listeners, welcome. You are tuned into Nostalgic Radio and Cars, and I'm your show host, Robert. Run your computer in Google, TanTalk1340.com. You can see us live here at the studio. Don't forget to check out our website, GulfstreamMotorsports.com. You can find out all kinds of cool information, particularly on our events page, which we will be talking about here shortly. If you missed any of our past shows, you can Google our podcast, Nostalgic Radio and Cars, which you will also find on our website, Gulfstream Motorsports. And don't forget to like us on Facebook, Nostalgic Radio and Cars, and Gulfstream Motorsports. Good evening, Bobby. How are you doing tonight?
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
No, I'm done now. So, how are you doing?
We're doing real good. So, you got some cute little sound effects and little ee's in store for us this evening? Well, since you brought it up, and we played a little clip here from Gallagher at the beginning of the show. Next week in Pinellas Park. Bobby, help me out here. What's going on next week in Pinellas Park?
Well, we got Gallagher, Rob Nelson, I want to say, and Artie Fletcher.
Our very own former radio star here from WTN, Artie Fletcher, right?
Coming to the Pinellas Park Performing Arts Center right here in our very own Pinellas Park, Florida.
Okay, and that is located where? That's on 49th Street, right?
Yes, near 78th, I want to say 78th is okay. Near.
Well, we never know. You know, knowing Artie, he might call in tonight and shock us. You know, hopefully he won't do it during the interview. But if he calls between now and 7:30, he'll be lucky. He can go ahead and give us, or 7:25, he can give us 5 minutes of raising, whatever you call it. But anyway, all right, well, cool. Anyway, hey, you know what? There's some pretty cool stuff going on this month. Let me go to my own very own website and go to my very own events calendar. Let me tell you what's going on. Let's see. We have... Well, let me tell you what we did this past weekend. Bobby and I went to St. Pete because about a week ago, a buddy of mine and Bobby were down at Biff Burger, which is every Friday night, by the way. Big shout out to the guys down at Biff Burger. They've been around for a long, long time. Cool car show. They've got something going on just about every night there, you know, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and sometimes on Sundays. And but we were there at the car show on Friday night, just kind of hanging out, you know, jaw-jacking with the usual crowd, some of our old buddies, you know, some of our old customers from Nostalgic Auto Days. And my buddy Jeff noticed that on the billboard, there was a sign up there, and it said, bike show next weekend. And so I thought, that'd be kind of interesting. First, he said bikes, and I'm thinking bikes as in motorcycles. I said, well, they usually do that every Wednesday. But then I glanced up there, and it said bicycles. So I thought that would be kind of interesting. So what we decided to do last, was it Sunday, Bobby? Is that when we went down there?
Yes, it was.
Sunday, yeah. Since we were out working and we were thrashing in the trailers trying to organize all our inventory, we decided to go by there because it started like around 11 o'clock. And you know what? They actually had a pretty good crowd. So kudos to, or kudos as they say, to, is it Troy? Is Troy the guy that's the manager there, the owner?
Troy is the manager.
Troy, the owner, the manager, or whatever at Biff Burgers, because they did a pretty good job of having that show there. And it was a fairly decent turnout. And now back in the day, I was a bicycle guy. And I had a Schwinn Fastback Stingray 5-speed, which, matter of fact, I still have. I bought new in 1966, and I still have it. And it's purple. Well, I call it purple. It's actually called violet. But I could not believe the condition of some of those bikes. There was an amazing collection of some really, really interesting bikes at that particular show. And a lot of Schwinn Fastbacks, a lot of 5-speeds, a lot of crates, you know, orange crates, apple crates, Gray Ghost, Lemon Peeler, Pea Picker, right, Bobby? And so they had some pretty good bikes, and they had, but there was not one Schwinn Ramshorn Fastback, other than the picture I had of one on my phone. However, back in the day when I bought mine in Novato, California, and we lived in Santa Fe, which is the Marin County,
and all the local bicycle shows. You know how it is. When you're a kid, you're watching cartoons on Saturdays, and little kids are showing up with on the commercials, you know, riding their bicycles and stuff. And, of course, back in those days, when it was relatively safe for people to kind of hang out during the daytime, you know, kids just jump on your bike, and you'd be gone all day long, you know, and then you come home in the evening, or you come home for lunch at somebody else's house, and then you're finally home at your own house. But nonetheless, the bicycle that I wanted, the Schwinn, five-speed fastback, which 1966 was the first year for that bike, there was none at the dealerships located in San Rafael. So the only one that had one was the bicycle dealership in Novato, California, which is about 20 minutes, 25 minutes north of us on US 1 there. So we went there, and what was interesting is the guy had the bike, and he actually had the color I want. Well, I actually wanted green because I love green, but he had a purple one, and I thought purple was kind of cool. And actually, the kid in the neighborhood that had the local bike route, he had a purple one with two baskets hanging on the side, and you know, he would, you know, run his paper route. So, at any rate, I bought the bike, and because I, unlike a lot of kids back in those days, my mom had a business, mom and dad had a business. We were in a motel business, so I had to work, so I had an allowance, so I could, you know, afford a decent bike. You know, a Huffy, basically, by comparison's sake, was like $35-$40 back in the day, which was a lot of money in the 60s. And a Schwinn Fastback, I'll never forget, was $65, $66, just under $70, right? But the cool thing about it was there was also a commercial, and there was some heads up on the new Schwinn Ramhorn Fastback that was coming out. So you couldn't get the bike because they pre-advertised the bike, okay? But what the dealership there had, which was the only one in the area, in the Tri-City area there in Marin County, he actually had a set hanging on the wall, brand new set of Ramhorn handlebars, which I promptly had them dealer installed. So my bike, even though it's a 66 Schwinn Fastback, it has dealer installed Ramhorn handlebars. Pretty cool. And I wrapped them, as opposed to putting the handle grips on it, I wrapped them in the tape like the 10 speeds had back in the day, and put the conventional brakes on it, the Wymans or whatever they call them back in the day. So bike's pretty original, and so I'm pretty happy with the fact that I kept the bike all these years. And now, of course, it's a you know, fairly sought after collector's item. Nonetheless, there were some pretty cool bikes there. There was a really vintage-looking 30s, 40s bike. There was one bike in particular there that caught my attention. It was polished aluminum, and it was built in somewhere around the early 40s, but it had a late 30s machine-age Art Deco design to it. Bobby, do you remember what the name of that bike was?
No, I do not.
You don't? Okay. Anyway, it was a pretty cool bike, but the thing that was kind of cool is it was really an ASPT, assembled from parts bike. So they had the frame. They found some roughly period correct wheels for it, and handlebars and seat and things of that nature. But the thing that got my attention was this funny little luggage rack he had on the back. And I was staring at it, and I thought, that's kind of peculiar. Now, it could have been an appropriate type of luggage rack, but it was kind of oval and big. Keep in mind now, the whole bike is aluminum, polished aluminum. Beautiful, with some great looking engravings on the headstock, and then where all the joints basically meet on the bike. Pretty cool stuff. Very interesting. Very ornate, very detailed. The detail is probably what sold me on the bike. So I'm asking him about the luggage rack, and then he goes, well, you're not going to believe what this is, but it's an old ironing board, 30s, 40s ironing board piece. Basically, it was the piece that's kind of like hangs out at the side of an ironing board that you set your iron on so it wouldn't get hot and burn your clothes. So you didn't have to actually set it on the ironing board. It was kind of like a little device that kind of protruded from the side. And I thought that was pretty cool. They polished that thing up, did a really cool job on it. And then it was an arm that actually sat on or rested on or was affixed to. And that was a piece off a vintage airplane, and it was basically a headlight bracket or a light bracket off an airplane. So they did a really cool job, and if you didn't know what you were looking for, you wouldn't, you know, it would seem like it was all factory. But once you start talking to the guys a little bit, you know, you realize how creative they were. Not to mention they had a number of other bikes. Then there was another gentleman there that had, what was that bike? It was a 1915 something or other, and that bike was for sale. And it's mind-blowing at how expensive these bicycles can get. I mean, they're anywhere from, you know, a few hundred bucks for your basic Schwinn three-speed coaster bike, basically, to some of these really rare classics, like the Schwinn Fastbacks were bringing $3,000, $4,000. That's mind-boggling. But these things were so nicely detailed. I mean, they were nicer than nice. You hear me talking about this on the radio show all the time about cars being over-restored. This was truly over-restored. It was just, these were museum pieces. But nonetheless, the sport is alive and well. The hobby is alive and well. And you know what? If you can't afford a car or a motorcycle, I guess a bicycle is probably the next best thing. What do you think, Bubby?
Yeah, how about that?
Or a skateboard, which that's another story for for another show. But anyway, let me tell you what's going on this week, this month, next year, all that good stuff. But we've got the Mid-America Shelby Meet in Tulsa, Oklahoma. That starts on the 17th and goes through the 21st. Then you've got Bloomington Gold up in Indiana. That's on the 25th, 26th, 27th. That's for all you Corvette guys. And since that's in Illinois, right next door, the next state over in Indiana, we've got the Porsche Club of America is doing their annual parade, and it's at French Lick, Indiana. And so there's a lot of big car stuff's going on. And, of course, you know, the local shows, for example, if you go to floridacarshows.com, you will find out some information there. Of course, you know, Quaker Steak and Lube is every Thursday. Biff Burger is every Friday. So those are our local events. And, of course, every town, Tampa, Sarasota, you know, Orlando every weekend, you know, they have Old Town, which is every Friday and every Saturday. So there's a lot of cool car stuff going on, in spite of the fact that the weather's a little hot and humid. In the evenings, it's not so bad. Unfortunately, most of these events are in the evening. But anyway, we got an interesting guest for you. Bobby, we're going to take a little commercial break, and then we're going to go ahead and get our guest on the show. Let's see. You got something queued up on the turn-up table, don't you? So let's go ahead, as Cedric would say, and drop the needle in the groove. Now, this is a rendition of All Along the Watchtower by Randy California, formerly of Spirit. And interesting story here. This is one of my favorite songs. It was actually written by Bob Dylan, right? Am I correct, Bobby? And
yes.
So a number of artists, Dave Mason did a great job on that car, on that song. Eric Clapton did a great version of it. And but this is Randy California's version of it. And it's got some guest guitarists in there. It's got Robbie Krieger from The Doors and Andy Powell from Wishbone Ash. So, hey, you're tuning in to Nostalgic Radio and Cars. Here's Randy California's version of All Along the Watchtower. Great song. Don't touch that dial.
There must be some kind of way out of here.
We're back. You're tuned into Nostalgic Radio and Cars, and I just got a phone call. This goes out to Radio Rob, one of our number one listeners. He's got a birthday this weekend. So happy birthday, Ray Didio, Rob.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, hey, Bobby, what else we got queued up on the thing there in a little bit? We got a guest coming on in a few minutes, so you know what we could do? We could, since we just talked about the bicycles, and we got some of the car show stuff coming on. And, oh, yeah, by the way, hey, you know what? I got a recently reacquired some of my stuff. So if you guys need some Mustang parts, some Camaro parts, check out our website. Go to the page that says Junkyard, naturally, and you'll find a whole list of all the stuff that I have advertised for sale on Craigslist. Was that supposed to be an explosion?
Yeah.
That was, yeah. Like blow.
We have an that's all the junk falling out of our, because we can't store it all. So
They need to buy some.
Is this a paying customer?
Yeah. Well, not to mention, go to our Facebook page. I just uploaded a picture this morning, and you know I'm a big Chevrolet fan. Not. But, you know, even though we had the guys on from Lansing last week, and they were talking about the 2016 Camaro. Actually, I love all cars, okay? All kidding aside. But anyway, so I threw this picture up there that Bobby and I took because I was out working and my hair was just a mess and my pants were ripped and my shirt was kind of dirty and grungy. So I came up with this corny little idea because a buddy of mine's got this old 911 and it's ex-race car and it got crashed and trashed. So we have to actually cut this car up in little itty-bitty pieces and scrap it. But then we came up with this corny idea, or it was my idea, why don't we just cut it down the middle, and you take half, and I take half, and we'll hang it on the wall. So in the process, I decided to get my cut saw out, or borrow my buddy's, and since he's a big Chevrolet guy, I just couldn't pass on the opportunity to kind of just do a little play on The Shining, only doing my car rendition version of it. So you know how in the movie The Shining, Jack Nicholson goes as he's beating through the door with the axe and he goes, "Here's Johnny. Well, here's Robert." You know, so anyway, so go check out the Facebook page. I got a picture of me on there with a whole bunch of tools, such as a hatchet, a hammer, a chisel, a hacksaw, a chain, some gasoline, some oil, and a cut saw. And on the cut saw blade, I wrote on there, "Here, Chevy, Chevy, Chevy. Here, Chevy, Chevy, Chevy." Because when I fire that bad boy up, I'm going to cut Chevrolets in pieces. But anyway, so Bobby's going to go ahead and you got something queued up for us, another song here? So we're going to play another song for you real quick, and then we're going to play a clip as we typically do, and then we're going to have our special guest on for the evening. So in the meantime, you are tuned into Nostalgic Radio and Cars. Do not touch that dial. We will be right back with a special guest. And yes, a well-known Nostalgic Radio and Cars alumni. Okay, so here this goes out to David Crosby. He'll be in concert when, Bobby?
June 12th.
Where?
Ruth Eckert Hall.
Ruth Eckert Hall. Our good friends over at Ruth Eckert Hall. Hey, you tuned into Nostalgic Radio and Cars. We'll be right back.
The sky is clearing and the night is bright. The sun, he come, the world is all around. Rejoice, rejoice, we have no choice but to carry on. The fortunes of fables are able.
this?
Agent Denham, that is a 1963 Ferrari 250 GT Lusso, owned and raced by the coolest cat who ever lived, Steve McQueen. This was his baby, and now it's my baby.
You got Steve McQueen's car parked in your living room? And here I thought you were an ass.
I paid $1 million for it 10 years ago. I wouldn't sell it for 10 times that.
We're 65 stories up. How do we get out of here?
You don't. This car was taken apart piece by piece and reassembled inside this room.
Well, this car will eventually be sold at auction with the rest of your belongings.
Only if I'm guilty, Agent Denham, which I'm not.
Hi, I'm Barry McGuire, host of Car Crazy Television, and you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
Okay, we're back, and you tuned into Nostalgic Radio and Cars, and that was kind of a cool clip from the movie The Tower Heist. Okay, it's time to introduce our special guest for the evening, and this gentleman is a Ferrari connoisseur. The name of his business up in Connecticut is F40 Motorsports, and he also is the host of probably the coolest car show on the planet, Chasing Classic Cars. I'm delighted to welcome to the show this evening, Wayne Carini. Wayne, welcome back.
Hey, Bob, how are you?
Pretty good. So tell us about, let's see, Greenwich was just, a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah, 2 weeks ago, Greenwich. We had a couple of cars in the auction, and we showed a couple of cars and won some awards. So that was kind of cool. It was a great show. Kind of a nice temperature outside during the show, because usually it's so hot in Greenwich that you can't stand it, but it was great temperatures this year, so it was a lot of fun. And then we're on to many different shows. I'll be in Kansas City at the end of the month, and Hershey next weekend, this weekend, actually. And next weekend we'll be here in Connecticut at the Klingberg Family Automobile Show. So we've got lots of things going on.
That's super. Now, don't forget, Monterey's coming up. St. John's is coming up, right?
Yeah, we'll be at St. John's. I'll be appearing there for Hagerty Collector Car Insurance, and then we'll be at Pebble Beach for a lot of things going on this year. Pebble Beach, there's always a lot of things going on at Pebble Beach. That's the granddaddy of them all. That's the mecca.
You know, Bill Warner comes on every year, and I know you're real good friends with Bill. So if you had to sit there and describe, and I always say that I think Bill probably does the finest job out of anybody, you know, because he's such a passionate car guy with his event. And I said, really, the only thing that separates the two, quite frankly, would be the real estate out west is, you know, kind of steps up a little bit. But Bill's show is probably by far, I think, one of the best concourse on the planet. I mean, what's your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that we have the top three. We have Pebble Beach and Amelia Island, and then Villa d'Este. So those are the top three in the world. And so I'm a little particular to say that Bill's is probably in the top two, that's for sure.
Okay.
Bill's is the most relaxing, and we have the best time. Such good friends all meet there, and it's a relaxed atmosphere within a small confines of the Ritz-Carlton. So it makes it kind of special to be with all our friends at a terrible time of the year for us in the Northeast. When the snow is flying and it's so cold, we love to get back down to Florida.
Now, what was the third one you mentioned? I'm not real familiar with them. You called it Villa d'Este?
Villa d'Este. So Villa d'Este is over in Italy.
And oh, okay.
It's probably the concours of Europe.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the third one. So I've only been there once, and it was a wonderful experience. It's very similar to Pebble Beach, except for very small. Bill Warner's show has gotten so big that he's overgrown the Ritz, actually, and there's so many people there. It's amazing. Of course, the television exposure that we've brought to him has not hurt at all. That's for sure. There's so many people in the world now that want to go to Amelia Island and Pebble Beach because of our show. We're in actually over 400 million homes worldwide and over 65 million homes here in the United States on the Velocity Channel, that our show is aired in so many homes. And so people love to see what is available to go to car shows all across the world. And fortunately, we're able to bring that to them.
That's amazing. Now, the show in Italy, where exactly in Italy does it take place?
It's on the banks of Lake Como.
Oh, really?
So,
okay.
Yeah. So it's a beautiful setting, just a wonderful event.
So that's actually
around the Mille. I mean,
yeah.
All these events are going on in Europe at the time, so it's great event.
Okay, so that basically borders Switzerland, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep, yep.
Okay, interesting. How many cars show up for that concourse?
Oh, there's, I believe right now that there's only about, probably about 100 cars that are invited, so it's kind of a unique car show where Pebble Beach will bring over 200 cars, and Bill's show now is over 300 cars.
Oh, my.
So it's pretty amazing. Bill has grown his event so much. And it's so unique because you get to see such a wide array of so many cars, and as well as Pebble Beach. I mean, you know, Pebble Beach is still the granddaddy of them all, although us car restorers and connoisseurs of automobiles, especially in the winter, still love going to Amelia Island.
What's your thoughts on the cars? I mean, are you still finding some really, really true rare classics out there like you have in the past?
Wait till you guys see what's going on for our new season coming up.
Really?
There's some wild stuff. I mean, stuff that just is like floored me. And I've seen a lot of cars in my day, but to get some phone calls and some emails recently for some cars that have been stored away, I just recently bought a car that had been put in a barn in 1931. And it's a very important car, too. So it's not just like an old Chevy was parked there, or Plymouth or something like that, or Ford was parked in the garage and Grandpa forgot about it. This is a very unusual and unique car. And to be parked in a barn in 1931 because there was a noise in the motor and not touched since, that's a pretty unique car. And we're thrilled to be able to be able to purchase it, as well as to we're going to be showing it in the class for non-restored cars at Pebble Beach this year. So we're very excited about that.
Now, you mentioned non-restored. Now, I have always been very partial to cars that are original survivor / preservation classes and so on. Do you find yourself more and more now, since that's, I don't want to say it's like the latest and greatest, but do you find yourself having discussions with people that people and customers and clients tend to want to leave the cars unrestored as opposed to restored these days?
There's a very small percentage of collectors that like that type of a car. You have to really, you have to be into it more than just being something that's shiny and it's beautiful. And don't get me wrong, I restore cars for a living, so I love restored cars. But because of that, I think, I really enjoy non-restored cars and preservation cars more than anything. Just knowing that it's never been touched. I recently had a show, an episode where I found a 54 Studebaker Starliner Commander Coupe in Pittsburgh, and it still has the original tires on it. The car is the best original unrestored car I've ever found. I mean, this guy wouldn't let anyone near the car unless they had a sweatshirt on, in case that a button would go up against the car. You had to take your shoes off to get in the car to go for a ride, and no one has ever sat in the back seat. It is by far the best original car. So I love that kind of stuff. I love to share it with other people. But there's skepticism, too, in the world. I brought this car to a show in Boca Raton Concord down in Florida this past year, and Studebaker experts go, oh, no, that car's been restored. Absolutely. There's no way that car could be that good over that period of time. And so, you know, there's a lot of controversy there, but yet I know what's real and what's going on with it, and that's all that makes a difference for me.
Let's talk a second about the market. Ferraris are naturally as hot as ever, and you know, the question is how much higher can it go? I mean, what's your thoughts on that? I mean, you know, and then is it going to continue pulling everything else up with it?
Well, that's a tough question, because as the market has risen so quickly and so fast, of course, it's stabilized off here in the past few months. But there's a lot of money in the world, and there's a lot of investors in the world, and there's a lot of car lovers in the world. So you mix that whole pot of soup up, and you come up with something that makes sense for people to invest in. I always tell my clients as they're buying a car from us, I said, make sure you like this car. It's not because your brother-in-law made a good investment down the road, or your neighbor or your cousin or something like that, where they feel it's a great car, make sure that you love the car that you're buying. Because if the market goes to zero tomorrow and your car is worth nothing, make sure that you love that car, because you want to go in the garage and say, I made a good investment. I don't care what the market says. And that means a lot. Don't go for what everybody else likes. Go for what you like and have a strong feeling. And always good advice. It's just like investing in the stock market or in the real estate market or wherever you may be. Always get good advice from people that have the knowledge to what to invest in, and then make the decision on your own after that.
You know, at the last time I saw you was at Amelia Island. I saw you at Bonhams, and there was a couple of cars there that kind of caught my interest a little bit, outside of the Lincoln that you had there, which I'm a big Lincoln fan, the convertible. But there was an Alfa Romeo there. It was a 72 or 73 GTV, what was unusual about it had a sunroof. And that's extremely rare in one of those cars. And where I'm going with this is because the Ferrari market, which I kind of tend to agree with you, I've been kind of watching it a little bit. You know, as an appraiser, I kind of like to try to stay on top of values as well. And it seems that it's kind of leveled off a little bit, with the exception of the very rare and exceptional cars, as usual. However, having said that, it seems to me like your Alfa GTVs, your Fiat Dinos, which have floored me lately, which were, you know, $5,000, $10,000, $15,000 cars a few years ago, as well as the Alphas. Now suddenly these cars are $35,000, $40,000. A Fiat Dino Spider recently sold for what, $75,000, $80,000?
Well, those were undervalued cars for a while.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they made a lot of them. And what we always look at is when we're advising people is just like buying a Monet or Renoir. You always make sure that you're buying something that's very unique and very special. But you also keep in mind that what your budget is. So you want to buy a short wheelbase Ferrari or a California Spider, that's great if you've got $15 or $20 or $30 million. But if you're an investor in the lower end of the market and you still want a good return on your investment and you want to enjoy the car, an Alfa GTV is a great car, wonderful car to drive, exceptionally beautiful car. The Dino is a wonderful car. My gosh, that's been overlooked for so long. But the problem always has been that no one invested the money properly to restore one of these cars. And so they've always been on the edge of the lower end of the market because of their potential not to make money, and nobody wanted to invest money into them. And so they were always restored to a lower level of restoration. Where if you get one today that's been, you know, that somebody's invested $100,000 or $200,000 in the restoration, of course it's going to bring a lot of money. You're buying the restoration. So there's a lot of different ways of looking at the market, but the market is strong, especially with the internationally known cars. So if you live in Russia or you live in the Middle East or some other country over there where these cars are internationally recognized. Ferrari is always internationally recognized, and Mercedes and BMW. These are all really great cars that are recognized internationally. That's where somebody's going to invest their money. They're not going to necessarily invest their money in a car that's only known in the United States.
As far as your show now is concerned, are there any recent interesting cars that you have found that have not made it on TV yet, but yet that you can talk about that are kind of interesting?
Well, there's always interesting cars. I just recently purchased a 4,000-mile Lamborghini Countach. So here's a car that languished for so many years at $75,000 to $150,000. They were something that we all knew were a great car and really a cool car, but now all of a sudden, the people that had these cars on posters in their bedrooms, they're graduating college, they're getting good jobs, and what do they remember most about automobiles is that poster in their bedroom.
Yeah.
They say, hey, I want one of those cars because now I can afford it. Suddenly, Countaches are starting to come up. Miuras, of course, have always starting to risen to the top of the heap, but yet a Countach, especially a carbureted car, has really climbed drastically. So I just recently, actually over the weekend, bought a 4,000-mile Countach. We're dressing it up a little bit and cleaning it. It hasn't been driven for like 4 years. So So we're making sure that it's running properly and everything's functioning and detailing it, and it's going to go on the market. So these are cars that sometimes you don't get to see on the show. We have a lot of cars go through our shops, but yet the ones that have the interesting story and that are very interesting to the public, those are the cars that we'd like to feature, as well as everyday cars. We want to make sure that everyone knows that a Ford Falcon, to me, is as important as a Lamborghini Countach.
You mentioned Miura. One of your episodes a while back, I think it was a few years ago, you discovered a Miura, the orange one, that was sitting in the guy's barn, and he never wanted to sell it. And you've been on my show now on and off for the last 3 years. So what's the status of that car? Did you ever get that car?
Still sitting there.
Still sitting
there. We're in monthly contact with the owner. That is one of the strangest stories that we've had, because he was an interesting guy. He didn't want to sell the car. I realized that. I didn't want to push him. So I said, have you ever seen my TV show? He says, no. So we gave him a DVD player and a bunch of DVDs of the show. And he liked that so much that he called me and said, how can I see more? So I bought him cable for his television at home. He didn't have cable service. And I've been paying for his cable service now for the past 3 years, so he can continually watch my television show and know that I'm there for him. And the biggest thing, though, is that he will not sell that car, and I don't want him to sell that car until he's passed away. And we don't want him to pass away. We want to see him around for a long time. Jay's a great guy, but yet we know that car means so much to him that if he sold that car and it went away, he would go away as well, and we don't want to see that.
You know, it's interesting that you said that, because, you know, now you're talking about the heart and soul and about the spirit, you know, and I get that, and I've said that for years, and I'm glad you said that on the air, because that's so true. Now, tell us a little bit how he came to acquire that car and how long he's had it.
That was great. He was he's an electrical engineer, and his brother actually saw an ad in the paper, in the local paper in Detroit, where Ford had purchased that car to study it. And when they were done studying the car, they put it in the paper for sale, and he bought it directly from Ford Motor Car Company. So they had gone over to Europe, they purchased the car, they brought it to their studios, and they studied the car and looked at it and tried to figure out, you know, what was the good and the bad of the car. And then after they were done with it, they sold it, and he bought it.
Wow. So he actually drove the car then for a while as well.
He did. He used to drive it to work every day.
We just
recently found another one, which you guys will see on the show. We found it in Miami. It had been sitting in the garage for 32 years. The unique feature about this car was that the guy was afraid to drive it in his neighborhood. He didn't want the neighbors to know what he had, so he would only take it out after 10 o'clock at night. He would drive it around and bring it back and put it in the garage, and then he would chain it to the garage with a big padlock and a big chain to the cinder blocks. He'd made a hole in the garage and chain it there because he was afraid somebody would steal it.
That's also a Lamborghini Miura?
Yes, it is.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So you see that one on the show. We went down and spent a couple of days with the widow of the guy that owned the car, very sweet woman, and we were able to purchase the car. We didn't think so in the beginning of the episode, but a few days later, we came to an agreement. We brought it back to the shop, and it's there waiting to be restored.
Wow, that's incredible. That's incredible.
Yeah.
I want to talk a second about the cars and the Concourse. And tell us how this kind of works. So in other words, if I have a car that's an exceptional car, and I show it at Amelia, and I show it at Pebble, and I show it, let's just say, at St. John's or at Greenwich, each time, or at Arizona Concourse, each time these cars are shown and they win an award or they compete for, let's say, status, that adds provenance to it. So it is a big deal when these cars compete in a concourse. Can you kind of elaborate on that a little bit?
Well, it is and it is. I mean, you got to look at it two ways.
Okay.
One is that if you're going to buy a car, so let's say that a car is for sale and it's going to be $5 million. And you say, okay, I want that car to be my car, not Joe's car. And Joe Smith showed that car at Pebble Beach and Amelia, and he went to Greenwich with it, and now I'm buying it. It's sort of like wearing somebody else's shoes. But somebody wants it to be their own, it's always great to find a fresh car that no one knows about, and you restore it to your qualifications, and you bring it and you win. That's the exciting part. I mean, so many cars have been to all these events, and then they get re-restored and painted in a different color or something. So there's two trains of thought. One is to get a car that no one knows about. The other one is to get a car that's proven to be a winner. But then where do you take it after it's won all the major awards? So it's both sides of the fence. You don't know which way to go because you want a car that's proven, but yet you want something of your own. And so that's sort of the trick of being in the car business.
If a car's won, let's say Pebble Beach and Amelia, for example, and just like you said, it's pretty much attained the top status, does it in terms of value, and I'm sure relative to the car, does it stay at that value, or is there still room for that car to go up, depending on what it is?
Well, there's always room for the car to go up. It all depends on, so if your car wins Pebble Beach, it has to be some phenomenal car, or Amelia Island, those two shows. It has to be an unbelievably phenomenal car that no one has ever seen before, and that it excites the person that's the biggest car aficionado of the world, and he goes, oh, my God, I've never seen a car like that in my life. That's what does it. And so in order to win with Pebble Beach, it's not just the quality of the restoration. It's not the presentation. It's the wow factor. Is the, and I can tell, I stand at the Haggerty's Dawn Patrol, and that's when all the cars come on the field at 5 a.m. or 6 a.m., and they start coming on the field. I can tell you, down to the last three, which cars are going to compete for the best in show just by looking at them as they come on the field, because the ones that have that wow factor, they go, oh, you know, this is the car that has the presence. And then it comes down to, you know, quality of the restoration, of course, and presentation, but yet it has to have the wow factor. And so if you don't have that, you're not winning Pebble Beach.
You're not winning Pebble Beach. Okay, now at Bill's concourse, he'll typically have a pre-war classic and a race car or a post-war classic. Pebble Beach has always historically had pre-war classics, but I believe, because I was out there last year, I believe this was the first year that a post-war car ever won.
Yeah, and pretty exciting. So the 375 Ferrari won this year. It was probably one of the best cars that could have won. So it was really great to see a post-war car win, a Ferrari win. So this is the first time that a Ferrari has ever won Best in Show at Pebble Beach, and it made such a statement. So this is the Rossellini Ferrari that was specially built for him, and it just had such a presence. Now, what's really interesting is that car had been shown twice before at Pebble Beach, and so it was re-restored. So you can't take the car back to Pebble Beach. I think it's 4 years in between each time that you can actually show it there. And finally, after the third attempt to show the car at Pebble Beach and win, it had won its class before, but never a major award like this. And to win Pebble Beach in a post-war car, pretty phenomenal. It set everybody's on its ear. And there's lots of things that are happening within the Concours community. At the Elegance a couple of years ago, which is in Hershey, I was part of the judging team that gave the HC Alpha, totally unrestored HC Alpha, Best in Show at a Concours, which is a pretty bold statement to give an unrestored car. But it wasn't because of the restoration. It was because of the presence of the car and the uniqueness of the car that won Best in Show. So there's so many factors.
Would you say that, now going back to Pebble, that they should have two classes, kind of like what Bill does at Amelia Island? They should have a post-war and a pre-war?
Well, that would be, you know, that would be interesting. Bill actually has a European and American class, so it's a race car class. Actually, I'm sorry, race car and then a street car class. So he always makes sure that he has a race car, because that goes back to Bill's heritage when he was a and it still is a race car. car driver, but a great photographer, and always was into racing. And then, of course, the show cars. So that's something that always pops up at Bill's. And that's what makes his show so unique. You know, Bill comes up with these unique and crazy ideas. He called me a few years ago, and he said, you know, everybody knows Italian sports cars as being red. I just bought a yellow Daytona. I want a yellow Italian sports car class. Just for yellow Italian sports cars. And so it was great. I actually had just restored a yellow 330 GTC, so we showed it there. So he always has these unique classes, and I think that's and you never know each year what you're going to see. Every year at Pebble Beach, you sort of know, here's the classes, you know. You have this class, you know, preservation. You have, you know, the classics. You have this and that. It's predictable. With Bill, it's never predictable.
Wayne, your show's been on. We're just about up against the clock. Your show's been on the air for what? 5 years now?
7 years.
Seven years.
Seventh season, actually 8 years. We did the first year as 2 1-hour specials, and then we've been on for this is our seventh season. Working on season 8 right now, matter of fact, because all the shows are in the can for this year. Actually, our new season after this one will be in September, and that'll be season 8. So we have 26 episodes a year, 13 in the spring and 13 in the fall. So tonight's episode is about Jaguars.
Oh, wow.
Some great Jags that I found and brought back to life and sold at auction. So it's a good episode. I hope everyone watches. And we appreciate all our viewers. And the show has become so popular, it's amazing. But it's great to see the people really understand automobiles and really appreciate what we're doing.
Well, Wayne, I want to thank you very much. Your show's on Velocity. It's every Tuesday evening, right?
Every Tuesday evening at 10, and then it's on reruns at Cars and Coffee in the morning. It starts at 6 and runs to 9, so somewhere in that time slot. And then we're on about 30 times during the week in different time slots at 3 o'clock in the morning or wherever. So keep viewing. We'd love to have viewers as much as we can. We're over, like I stated, over 400 million homes worldwide and 65 million homes in the United States. It's just wonderful to have all the viewers.
Incredible. Hey, Wayne, thank you very much. I'll probably see you at Monterey. In the meantime, check out Chasing Classic Cars on Velocity with my good friend Wayne Carini. In the meantime, I want to thank everybody for tuning into Nostalgic Radio and Cars. Be sure and check out our website, GulfstreamMotorsports.com. If you missed any of our past shows, don't forget to check out our podcast, Nostalgic Radio and Cars. Don't forget to like us on Facebook, Nostalgic Radio and Cars, and Gulfstream Motorsports. Don't forget to check out Chasing Classic Cars on Velocity. Everybody stay safe, drive carefully, and love your family.
Train your eyes.
Out of school, but there's a feller in there who'll pay you $10 if you sing into his can.
Downtown Dave.
I'm not here to make a record, you dumb cracker. It broadcast me out on the radio.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.
You dumb cracker.